Good evening and welcome to It's the Economy for this first Thursday in May, May 4th, 2023. I'm Liz Lane, your host this evening. Today marks the 60th anniversary of a pivotal day during the 1963 March on Birmingham, which was led by Martin Luther King and other members of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And on a day when we are marking the heroic efforts of so many to work towards social and economic equality, we will feature this evening a segment discussing the Colorado News Collaborative, or CoLab's, recent report, Chasing Progress, documenting the economic progress of Black and Latino Coloradans over the last 10 years. Progress, yes, but not quite enough. I'm your host this evening, Liz Lane. We will hear from KGNU's Rosanna Longo-Better. She is in conversation with Denver Post reporter Saja Hindi, talking about the work that she did along with other members of the Colorado News Collaborative, or CoLab, on a report called Chasing Progress, Latino and Black Poverty Rates Over the Last 10 Years.
We're going to be talking with reporter Saja Hindi. She is from the Denver Post, and she is a reporter that has been doing coverage mostly for the city of Aurora, and she's an award-winning reporter who has previously worked at the Fort Collins Coloradan and the Loveland Report Herald after starting her journalism career in North Carolina. She's covering breaking news, immigration, politics, and social issues, and also public safety. And today we're going to be talking with her about Chasing Progress, a research that examines the decade between 2011 and 2021. Chasing Progress concentrates in the inequalities between Black and Latino Coloradans over this last decade. And the whole series that they have been working on, different news departments and news outlets, got inspired because of another similar project that was called Losing Ground. And that was back in 2013, that also tracked equity gaps, poverty levels, home ownership rates, and education attainment, and median family income among Black, Latino, and White Coloradans from 1960 to 2010. And now with Chasing Progress, different news outlets have been doing different investigations. And today we have Saja Hindi from the Denver Post to talk to us about her findings and also the report that she recently put out that has been shared in different outlets. This is important for, especially for us, Latino community and Black Coloradans, to understand where we are. So with that intro, I will really like if you can answer the first question. Before we get into the findings, tell me what was the impetus for the story, especially for you? Why it called you? Why you got passionate about it and you wanted to participate?
Thank you so much, Rosanna, for the introduction and for having me on today. I really appreciate it. I heard about the CoLab project, Chasing Progress, and I was really interested in the idea and getting involved somehow. For me, as a woman of color, I recognize some of the barriers that exist for a lot of communities. I'm not Latina or Black, but I come from an immigrant family, and my parents had to work really hard to get me and my siblings to where we are today. I am privileged in a lot of senses because of that and a lot of other factors that play into it because of family support. But I also recognize that growing up in Colorado at this point in time, when costs are the way they are, would have made things a lot more difficult. And so this story was important to me because I felt like it's one thing to see the data and the numbers, but there's so much more behind that. There are these communities that deserve to be able to share their experiences, and I'm grateful that CoLab and Tina Griego gave me the opportunity to be involved in that.
What were the most eye-opening findings for you, and why?
That's a good question. I will say that, honestly, I was really surprised by how much the poverty rates had dropped. Obviously, there are a lot of factors that play into that, including the fact that the official poverty measure is based on, or is partly based on, three times the minimum cost of food from 1973, a long time ago. In 2021, the poverty guideline, adjusted for inflation, but it's the same, all across the country, was $26,000, $26,500 for a family of four. And so even in our story, we wrote that the polite critics call the measure antiquated. And of course, just because the rates have fallen doesn't mean that they're necessarily good. And I know we'll get into that a little bit more later. But Latinos in 2021, for example, had a 15% poverty rate compared to 7% for white Coloradans. I definitely don't mean to take away from the good. There is progress, but like our story showed, there's much more progress to go, and the rates don't necessarily provide a full picture. When we were reporting on the story, we kept coming back to this one quote from one of the people we interviewed, Valerie Harris. She talked about how, as a family, aside from the pandemic, they were doing much better than they were a decade ago. But she said that it also felt like a lot of Black Coloradans were renting their lifestyles. And the quote she used was, "We don't own more homes. We don't own more businesses. We just have more jobs. That's not better." The Colorado Center on Law and Policy uses the self-sufficiency standard. It had the formula that is calibrated for the state's 64 counties and family sizes and types, and it looks at additional costs. And we actually have a graph in the story that I'd encourage people to look at to see between what the standard shows and what the federal poverty measure shows. So let's take Arapahoe County, for example, where the main couple who shared their story live. One adult in Arapahoe County would need to earn over $38,000 just to cover their basic needs. That's a little bit less than what they earned combined.
On its face, it's really good news, right? That poverty, especially among Latinos and African Americans, is near historic lows. But your story also held some big caveats. Can you talk about those?
Absolutely. So one thing our story examined is both direct and indirect factors that had an impact on rates. When it comes to the official poverty measure, you're really looking at the direct factors, how the economy is doing. We also looked at the minimum wage hikes in Denver, what the unemployment rate looks like, and what jobs are available, and whether people could fully participate in the workforce in the first place. During the pandemic, you had things like expanded child tax credits and other aid that helped families. But the numbers also reflect things like women waiting later in life to have children, and that's backed by data from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, the change in makeup of families with fewer single-parent households and more families that were doubling up, basically living with extended family members or other adults that could contribute. And then you have something that's happened for years for lower-income households, basically people working multiple jobs to make ends meet, longer hours. The experts we talked to kept reiterating that a lot of what has impacted Latino and Black Coloradans' economic stability is related to systemic barriers, not just individual decisions. So one of the advocates we talked to pointed to things like school funding, higher interest loans, a lack of access to quality health care. So all of that played into the economic progress and economic stability over the past decade.
And I will say opportunities. I was listening to Sonali, a show that we air here in KGNU, and she was interviewing somebody that in Boston has a project of coding, and he's only training coders that are of color. And the reason why is because he's making an effort of trying to bring this population into this amazing, easy, in a way to earn money. Why? Because you don't need to get a college degree, but if you are able to learn coding, you can start making $25,000, $26,000 a year. So it really changes the whole thing. And he was explaining that the reason why they don't get more people of color there is because of the connections. Like the people that are connected into technology normally are white folks that bring their friends. And it is almost like a barrier, impossible to jump in. What are those barriers that through your investigation and your research and the numbers, you were like, wow, this is the main barrier for our communities of color here in Colorado?
It's interesting because it's not, we couldn't pinpoint one specific thing in the story, and neither could the experts. There were so many different things at play. But like I'd mentioned earlier, you know, there are these systemic barriers that affect people, not just individual decisions. And then you have the high cost of living in Colorado.
High cost, but also housing is impossible for people to get in. It's really impossible. Yeah. And when they get in, if they go through the whole process of going into low-income housing, it's complex. You need to qualify, and it's a difficult thing to go through the process of qualification. And then if somebody makes a little more money, cannot qualify. And not only that, once you are in the whole process, you need to wait to see if you are the lucky one that gets the opportunity to buy one of those homes. So for me personally, when I think about our communities, because I know the majority of the Latinos live in mobile homes, I know that is the center piece of everything. And then if they are able to own a mobile home, guess what? They don't own the land where the mobile home sits. And that's huge. It's almost like people of color are prohibited to own land.
Housing is a huge issue in Colorado for everybody, but particularly, like you said, for Latino and Black families. And being able to own a home has been a primary driver of generational wealth. And so if that's unattainable for a family, then it makes it harder for their children and their grandchildren as they move along. And so that is a big thing. We talked about it. It's housing. It's the cost of childcare. It's the cost of healthcare. It's inflation. That's a big thing that the Colorado legislature and the state government are currently trying to figure out how to address. There are multiple proposals at the state house that could address a lot of these issues. And there are some things that Colorado has done in the past to try to help, whether it's implementing universal kindergarten or preschool. Experts pointed to that as a big help for families in terms of their childcare costs, for example. So the state has implemented policies like those, and then lawmakers are still debating how to increase availability of affordable housing, potentially expanding the state income tax relief. And there's just a lot of different areas that advocates say need to be addressed. And, you know, I interviewed somebody a few weeks ago about homelessness. So not related to the story, but I think what she said applies here. And I think about it a lot is that it took decades to get to this point. It's going to take some time to make changes.
So full disclosure, I was able to accompany you to an interview that you were conducting with Clemente and Alejandra, two of the characters that you feature in your story. And they are Latinos and they spoke in Spanish. And one of the things that they mentioned that I still remember is that their dream, and again, it calls into the American dream, is to own a home and to own a home where they can be outside and cook a barbecue and cook their food and share it with the people. That really touched me when they said that.
They said that was kind of their ultimate goal. And eventually having that home would help them work less than they are now. I mean, Alejandra was saying she's probably working 60 plus hours a week. And if their plan to make money in the future would be that maybe she'd be able to cook from home and sell her food. And it was a very different lifestyle that they envisioned for themselves.
Yeah, that was like the ultimate. And the kindness and the way they kept together and the beautiful home that they live, it really spoke about the efforts that they had and how much they were working.
Absolutely. Yeah, they were so proud of the home that they built together. And they recognized that there's a lot more to go for them, a lot more work that they have to do to reach their goals, but it was a beautiful story to be able to hear.
What have I not asked that you consider important for our listeners to understand the main goal or the most important feature of this report and the findings?
I think I would say take the data that you see with a grain of salt. There's a lot more behind those numbers. There are a lot of factors at play. And it's great that the poverty rates are near historic lows. But let's look at the current conditions in Colorado and see what more needs to be done. And, you know, advocates from various sides have different opinions about what solutions are available, or what solutions should, or what proposals would be good solutions. But I think it's important for us to understand not only what the numbers say, but what factors contributed, and to then move forward from there.
One of the things that really called me when I saw the project Chasing Progress, and that I also got into, but in the educational side, was this idea that if you are a person of color, coming to Colorado is not so good, or, you know, emigrating or living in Colorado is not the best place for a person of color, either Latino or African American, and maybe also the other ethnicities. Why? Because if you come here, chances are it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to own a home. And education is also difficult to attain, and opening new business, it seems like those are lower too. What are your thoughts about that?
I think there are a lot of disparities that exist. We saw that particularly during the pandemic, but just in general. There's also a lot of good news. People are making progress, but housing attainment is one of the difficult aspects for a lot of people in Colorado. And I think that unless some of the proposed policy solutions go into effect, it's going to continue to be hard.
Yeah, you're right. Like Proposal 1, 2, 3 was trying to really get that fixed in a way. And like you are saying, house ownership is key. And I think it's related to everything else. And it's also related to generational wealth. So if somebody is not able from the family to get a home, it's for sure that the next generations are not going to attain the American dream. And my last question to you today will be, what is positive about doing this kind of research and showing these numbers? Does it help somehow?
I think it definitely helps put things into context, which is very important for trying to figure out what gaps remain and how to ensure people's success. It's great news that the poverty rates are near historic lows in Colorado and across the nation. You know, one of the things we saw was that Black and Latino children under 18 saw the steepest drops in poverty. And so part of that is a reflection in an increase in median household incomes. And that is good news for Latino and Black families and Coloradans as a whole. We need to keep looking at the data and analyzing it and moving forward from there.
You are right. We need to keep the data that really shows progress, but also we need to take a deep look at the situation of our communities and keep on reporting around this, because I think it's extremely important. I hope that more research is done so that we can elevate this kind of data to keep on progressing as a collective. Thank you so much, Seje. It is awesome to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to chat.
For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo-Better. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for It's the Economy for this evening. Special thanks to Rosana Longo-Better for her piece interviewing Denver Post journalist Sasha Hindi on the Chasing Progress Report, a collaboration of the Colorado News Collaborative, also known as CoLab. Thanks so much for that excellent report. For KGNU, I'm Liz Lane.